It was an exceedingly long and very complicated week. Lots of moving parts. For the stock market, it really comes down to the economy. For everybody else, it comes down to life and death. But for the stock market, it was a real shock because we had an 11-year-long bull market coming into trading. Robert Dye is the chief economist for Comerica Bank and has a good way of explaining things and joins us right now. It's good to have you back with us.
Well, thank you, David. Glad to be here.
So the last time we were talking, we were looking ahead to, you know, another rosy new year. We were talking at the beginning of January. This really is a black swan, isn't it?
Certainly. And the definition of the black swan is that improbable event that comes from nowhere, that once you see it in hindsight, it looks a lot less improbable. But fair to say that this one caught us all off guard. There were some prior examples, some SARS and other things, but didn't spread like this one does. And I think this week was very, very important because this was really the watershed week when we really processed a lot of the information and started to really understand what this was going to do to the global and the U.S. economy.
Well, do we have a handle on that? I mean, it would seem as though we have gone from boom to bust instantly. Now the consensus seems to be that we are probably, as we sit, in a recession already.
Well, I think it is fair to say that we're going to see a meaningful contraction in second quarter GDP. And there's just no way to get around that with the cutbacks we've already seen, both visible and not so visible. We knew supply chains were being disrupted even before this, and now with China, the disease going through China, and now virtually all parts of the world, supply chains remain disrupted. But here in the U.S., we've seen a great deal of demand destruction, and supply chain disruption. Those are the two words, supply chain disruption and demand destruction, if I can get that out. And that's really what's going on. And like I said, a significant drop in second quarter GDP. And the real question right now is how and when and what does the bounce back look like? And I think that's where we're really struggling to get some clarity at this point.
And of course, what makes it even murkier is that out of the blue, maybe this isn't a black swan, but all of a sudden the Saudis declare a price war with the Russians over oil, and it collapses.
Yeah, couldn't come at a worse time, obviously, especially for Texas and with our energy sector here and driving the price down to 30s and really immediately seeing the oil companies scaling back capital expenditure plans. So that just adds, unfortunately, fuel to the fire, especially for Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, other energy-producing states.
However, low oil prices, low fuel prices benefit you and me and corporations and everybody else. We've got interest rates that are at historically low levels. And I saw the refinancing index for home mortgages just go through the roof. It was up like 76% last week. And finally, at least we had, you know, full employment and a strong economy going into this. Do those three things help us getting out of it?
Well, they do, and so that's why we are expecting to see a recovery. We've already seen a significant change in monetary policy. That's the Federal Reserve has lowered interest rates. They're not done yet. They're going to lower some more. The president has just been on television talking about the national emergency, releasing funds to state and local governments. I think we're going to get some meaningful fiscal stimulus. Both a broad-based tax relief and then concentrated tax relief and concentrated spending. We're seeing meaningful measures across the globe right now. And so these things will line up. And once this demand destruction settles down, these things will start to add up and pull us back out. Now, the question is, does that really happen by the third quarter or the fourth quarter at this point? And there's some debate there, but I'm confident by the end of this year that this will be behind us, and we'll be looking at actually pretty positive conditions coming out of this.
So what's going to be left standing then? I mean, and I know they're talking about the SBA helping out small businesses and medium-sized businesses. But, I mean, nobody's going to any restaurants right now. How would you like to own three or four restaurants? And then you've got all the people that work for you. And all of a sudden we come out of this and there's there's no place to eat, or you lose an airline or two, and you never got to take a cruise again. You got to keep these businesses going, don't you?
Well, you do, and that's exactly why it's so important to think about this as an event that is hitting not really, or not as much the national economy, but certain occupations and certain businesses within the economy. Most people in a financial services industry, we can do our jobs from home if we have to a greater or lesser extent. But if you work at a restaurant and a restaurant closes for a couple months, you don't get a paycheck. And so that is why targeted relief is so important at this point in time. And broad-based relief, say a delay on tax filings, things like that, is good. But a payroll tax reduction doesn't help you if you don't have a job. And so we need to make sure we're targeting this to individuals who are going to be displaced for a period of time, which is going to maybe range in 1, 2, 3 months, in that range.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see how politics line up on this, because in 2008-2009 there were a lot of rules created or things done that maybe nobody knew could do, but a lot of businesses were saved. The automobile industry were saved, and we're arguably all better off for it, but there was tremendous amount of criticism afterwards, saying, the government's overstepping the bounds, we're going to fix it so you can never help private industry again.
Well, hindsight's 20/20, and I actually give our government leaders and Federal Reserve officials a great deal of credit for how they handled the crisis of 2007 into 2008 and 9, because it has simply never happened before, and sometimes you have to think outside the box, and what I'm seeing now is an event that has not happened before, at least to this country, and perhaps the shape of things to come. And we need to think outside the box. We're not going to get everything perfect this time around, and hopefully we can do enough things right, and I think we're on the way toward doing that, get enough things right that we'll bounce back from this in good shape, and we will learn and be prepared for the next event and the next event after that, because in my view, this is really you're looking at the future here, that this is simply the shape of things to come. It is a globally connected world. People travel around with great frequency all over the world, and communicable diseases are simply going to be an issue going forward.
Well, and the economies are all linked. It used to be that you could diversify your portfolio and have some European and some emerging market, and it would hedge against something that would happen in South America or in North America. But the fact is, we all seem to be linked now.
Well, we are. We're increasingly interlinked. And I hope the message that we can all take away from this is not to get unlinked and go back into our caves, but to learn how to do this better, more smart, going forward instead of retreating. We actually need to think about how to do this and how to prepare ourselves for a highly networked, highly linked global economy going forward.
Well, we are living in interesting times. This is Dr. Robert Dye, the chief economist for Comerica Bank. It's always good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, David.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.